VIPs. So, you remember when I said earlier in the week, Wednesdays will be the first Kessel Run I release as a bonus to try and promote the VIP program? Yeah, little did I know that I would have something solid to talk about on today's episode. Wow. So, before I get carried away, let's just bring those outside the VIP group into the picture. So, this is the TSW Kessel Run. So this is podcasting on the run, where I spend some time every day whilst I go about my chores, either walking the dog or driving to work, recording a podcast for the Talk Star Wars VIPs. And the VIPs are a wonderful group of generous people who donate a small amount of money each month to help us run the site. Anywhere between £1 and £3 is given, securely via PayPal. And as a thank you for being a sponsor of the show, we enroll those who are interested in our VIP program. So the VIP program consists of a few perks designed to say thank you. They are a monthly newsletter that brings you up to speed with everything that's going on at Talk Star Wars. So any little projects we might be involved in, new podcasts, interviews, any of that exciting stuff, all gets detailed in there. We also have a Facebook group, the TSW VIP Facebook group, which is a closed group. So only those invited can be a part of the VIP community, which I have to say is one of the most wonderful groups of people I've had the pleasure of being involved with. It's such a positive, friendly, encouraging space. And today I can tell you, with the news that broke overnight, there is a lot of talk going on over there. So if being in a group of like-minded people, Star Wars fans, is appealing to you, that is without a doubt the best thing about the VIP program, is the Facebook group. In addition to the Facebook group, we also give our VIPs priority releases of some of our shows. So we have monthly shows, like the TSW Roundtable, which is a show hosted by my friend in Canada, Robert Cast. And it is hosts from around the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network and a couple of VIPs each month. Sit around the table. People who have never podcasted join in, some of the more experienced podcasters from the network, to talk about Star Wars and more. That's a lot of fun. So you get a priority release of that. You get a priority release of the TSW Toy Box, which is our show about collectibles. TSW Comics, which I think says pretty much all you need to know about that show. And you also get a priority release of our feature comm series, which is audio commentaries for the Star Wars movies. As and when they're released, they will come to you first. And you get this daily podcast, The Kessel Run, which could be anything from sort of 5 minutes to half an hour, depending on what sort of news we got to discuss. But you'll also get an exciting draw giveaway every month. VIPs are automatically entered into a raffle for some cool prize. So we've already given away a hardback copy of Star Wars Thrawn by Timothy Zahn, and we gave away last month the 40th anniversary Black Series Luke Skywalker X-Wing variant, which was exclusive to Celebration Orlando this year. So Kyle Roussel in Canada won that lucky draw. This month we're giving away a beautiful piece of hand-drawn artwork of Han Solo's DL-44 blaster. So you get entered into that draw to win some really cool, some really lovely prizes. There are a ton of other perks to being a VIP in that group, all for as little as £1. I mean, if you want to support us with more, £3 would be greatly appreciated. But there you go, that's the VIP program in a nutshell. All right, Veeps, what can I say? So I went to sleep last night and all was right with the world, and I wake up this morning to the news that Lord and Miller have departed the Han Solo film, which is shocking and concerning, to say the very least. So this, I mean, we go back now to Josh Trank. I'm getting waves of the Josh Trank affair here. All right, let's start from the top. So technically, the filmmakers left the production through creative differences. And this was outlined in both the statement from Kathy Kennedy at Lucasfilm and from Lord and Miller themselves, stating that the creative process, the vision was not shared between Lucasfilm and Lord and Miller. Lord and Miller said the same. They didn't share the creative vision of their partners on the project. And it would appear now from sources such as Variety and EW that, in fact, Kathy may have terminated the relationship herself in order to set the Han Solo movie back on track for what was their agreed vision. So should we be worried? Well, I'd say at this point, I am finding it very difficult to find the positive in here. It seems to me that there have been a couple of mistakes now with Lucasfilm selecting directors that perhaps weren't right from the outset, and I'm trying to puzzle out what exactly is the cause. So with Josh Trank, they brought on this exciting young visionary. There are accusations in a Variety post, in fact, that Kathy is bringing on exciting independent filmmakers in an attempt to make a splash in Hollywood, and then failing to empower those directors to deliver a singular vision. And we know that this creative difference is reason for the disillusion of a relationship. I'm trying to be very careful. It's so easy to descend into negativity over these things. But the creative differences is cited a lot when you get a director that just won't play by the producer's rules. And if we go back, way back in the day, to when George was making the OT, he just did not want to direct Empire and Jedi, and so he brought on directors that could do two things. They could manage a production and deliver a movie on the scale of a Star Wars movie, but they could also be, I'm going to put the word manipulated in inverted commas, because I don't think that's really all that accurate, but George had to have a proxy on the sound stages directing for him. It wasn't about bringing in Lawrence Kasdan and getting Irving Kershner and getting Irving Kershner's Star Wars movie, or Richard Marquand and giving Richard Marquand's Star Wars movie. It was more about having a director on set that could deliver George's vision whilst George was off building Skywalker Ranch, developing ILM, and whatever other interests he had at the time. With Jedi, it was spending more time with his family. And here I wonder if Lucasfilm are trying to replicate that model where you bring in directors, capable directors, and we've spoken about this numerous times on the main show, that you have to have two pieces of credibility for Lucasfilm, it would appear. You have to have the ability to tell a story, and if you can do it in an interesting and stylistic way, more the better. Josh Trank with his debut movie, and Rian Johnson with his very independent, very individual filmmaking style. And then you get somebody like Colin Trevorrow, who had Safety Not Guaranteed as his indie movie, and then you get the big budget successes, the $200 million plus successes of Gareth's Godzilla and Colin's Jurassic World, which shows the producers that you can handle a small business, or the economy of a small country, to be honest. So where could this be going wrong? It could be that, yes, you have to have those qualifications. You come in with the ability to make a movie and the ability to run a big budget movie, and that qualifies you for Star Wars, but it doesn't help you deliver precisely what the producers think. They were being told by filmmakers like Rian Johnson that this isn't filmmaking by committee, that Lucasfilm have given him every bit of independence that he's enjoyed on his own movies to go off and make The Last Jedi. So why was it that Josh Trank and Lord and Miller didn't make the cut, and why is it that Gareth Edwards had his film supervised by Tony Gilroy, should we say, rescued by Tony Gilroy, taken away from him? You can reframe this in many negative ways, but I would suggest that what we've probably got is we've got a situation where Rian Johnson is as close to the Lucas model as you can possibly imagine. You have, with Ryan, a writer, director, basically an auteur filmmaker, cut from the same cloth as George. And I think Kathy would have seen something in him that would inspire faith in this method of filmmaking. You bring in an independent filmmaker, you give them a gigantic budget, give them creative control, and their visions are lockstep from day one. Whereas with Gareth and with Lord and Miller, they came into a project where the script was already established, so all they had to bring to it was creative vision. And somewhere along the line there, the two paths have diverged. Kathy's interpretation of what the Han Solo movie should be, and Lord and Miller's interpretation of what the Han Solo movie should be, diverged. It might be that Lord and Miller are just following the film and let it become what it needs to, but that doesn't fit with Kathy's original vision of a Western-style heist movie with bright Remington-style colours. So is this what happened on Rogue One, do we think? I think Rogue One might have been more a case of they had too much story, and Tony Gilroy had to help them bring that down to a reasonable running time that preserved the overall narrative. That's been my understanding from the start. With Josh Trank, poor guy didn't even get one shot off before he was terminated. So there, you can start drawing comparisons and you can start shaking in your boots over this stuff, but maybe these are similar but not identical situations where creatives have parted company with the producers. But I would say there's room to be concerned about the decisions that are being made in the early days of these projects. And maybe it's just that Lucasfilm, not necessarily just Kathy, but Lucasfilm in general, are still working out the formula for putting together a successful Star Wars film. I think Ryan might be the key to this. And if you're able to bring in a creator quite early on with your vision for a project and allow them to go away and craft it from page one of the script to the final edit, that might be the best way to get the Lucas model back into play. The Lucas model that birthed Star Wars. The auteur vision. You give the director a brief and they can go away and shape it. And we know the story group are there to really guide them back into canon, if that's the case. But for the rest of the time, they need to be free. Now, Lawrence Kasdan and his son John Kasdan, they wrote the Han Solo movie and gave it to Lord and Miller. So Lord and Miller are shaping a movie that they believe needs to come into being, and it's apparently created quite a lot of friction between Lawrence Kasdan and the directors, and I would imagine subsequently friction between the producers, Kathy Kennedy, Kerry Hart and so on, and the directors. So what is the way forward for the Han Solo movie? My I don't know what your take on it is, but I'm seeing names this morning in print. Tony Gilroy's already ruled himself out. Ron Howard is a name that's been floated around. Joe Johnston is a name that's been floated around. He has connections to both Disney and to Lucasfilm, of course. Great pedigree from that filmmaker. But my money, for what it's worth, is on Lawrence Kasdan. And this is why, because my understanding of what the problems are relate to the creative vision, relate to how Han Solo, the movie, got off the blocks. It got off the blocks by having a solid script written by probably the one guy besides George who understands Han Solo the best, which is Lawrence Kasdan, the man who has put words in that character's mouth, words that echo through modern iconography. This is the guy that breathed life into Han, the Han that we know. So it stands to reason to me that Lawrence Kasdan would be the best choice now to step in. This film's, it's a guesstimate, but I would say anywhere between 70 and 80% complete principal photography. You still have pickups later in the year, which I'm sure we'll all be panicking about then. But it's an opportunity now for Lawrence to get in, pick up the rest of the initial shoot that he needs, get that film into the editing bay, and see if they can craft what their initial vision was from the existing material. And then in pickups, you end up where you were with Rogue One, where you might have to tease 40% of the movie back into control. But I think this is a way. I think this is a way forward. If some of the statements made this morning made it sound like it was superficial, the look of the film, the bright Remington-like colours, and the Western heist feel was something that Kathy wanted and seems to be missing. If that can be salvaged in principal photography, then fine. But I suspect it's more to do with the voice of Han Solo. Sorry about that siren. This is what happens when you podcast on the go. I'd say it's more about the voice of the character of Han Solo that's the concern here. And you would have seen the VIPs. There was a discussion yesterday in the group, a great conversation between Nathan and myself about Han Solo and the way people view that character and how I felt Han had a nobility in Star Wars that was cut nicely with the ruthlessness that we see when he shoots Greedo first. And Nathan felt that those two things couldn't exist side by side. I respect Nathan's point of view. I'm not suggesting Nathan's wrong and I'm right. But my interpretation of Han is somewhat different from his. I believe Han is a deeply layered character, and maybe that wasn't coming across in Lord and Miller's first cut of this film, or Lord and Miller's 70 or 80% of the film that's already shot. Maybe the character of Han wasn't coming across. And it's interesting that Alden Ehrenreich isn't the centre of these concerns, but more the director. So I wonder how much of that voice of Han, if that's a concern, can be changed at this point. But my money, folding money, is on Lawrence Kasdan to take over the hot seat. I know the name Ron Howard has been bounced around, but here's the thing. If you're bringing Ron in to take over a Star Wars movie, you've still got the problem of the creative vision. Can he come in as a jobbing director like Tony Gilroy did and set aside his own creative instincts, his own creative flair, and just piece together the last part of this film for Lucasfilm? It would be much better, I think, if Lawrence took over and guided the original concept into the final cut. And Ron, I would love Willow-style Ron Howard to be connected to a future Star Wars standalone movie, but from the scripting stage through to the production stage, because that's what I think's at fault here. And I don't know what you think. We should throw this into the group today for discussion, because this seems to be a recurring problem. They may, as I said earlier, they may not be the same problem, but it seems to be a recurring theme that we're hiring, Lucasfilm are hiring creatives, exciting, young, dynamic creatives to usher these Star Wars films into being. But on more than one occasion now, they failed to get that film together. And it's probably not fair to Gareth. Like I say, these issues are probably very different. It's probably not fair to Gareth to say that he failed with his vision of Rogue One. It had to be saved. I do believe that that was a case of that being too much film, and it had to be pared down in a way that made sense. I accept that as being fact. But certainly with Lord and Miller and with Josh Trank, I think they pulled a trigger. They pulled the trigger on a hire before they really considered how best to get that concept off the page and onto the screen. And writer-director, to my mind, is the only way we can do that. So what do you think? Do you think Lucasfilm will be better off hiring writer-directors from this point on? I think that they will broadcast this. If we see Lawrence Kasdan installed as director on Han Solo, I think that broadcasts a big message from Lucasfilm that they've seen that one vision is better on these projects than many. And we've seen that with Ryan, what Ryan's communicated through the media about The Last Jedi is that he was given full creative control over The Last Jedi, from writing the film to directing the film. And I like to think that this is something we'll see going forwards. We know Colin Trevorrow is shaping the script now for 9, which is due to go into production in January. So we will see a singular vision in that. I mean, people have their concerns about Colin after the Book of Henry. You know my position on that. But going forward, can we expect the next saga movie, like an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie directed by Ron Howard, to leap off that whiteboard into Ron's typewriter and then down the lens of his camera? I would hope that that's the way they go. Not necessarily that combination, but I hope that's the way they go. They hire auteur filmmakers now, young or not, bring them in and allow them to create these things from the ground up, from soup to nuts, as they say. Let them get that, wrestle that project to the ground and deliver one thing that Kathy can keep a close eye on and make sure that it's delivering the Lucasfilm message. I don't want to see any more of this. It's very, very disturbing to see people fired from a movie because a decision was made to put them in a role they weren't suitable for. And that's the only way to interpret this, to my mind. They were placed in a role they weren't suitable for. Doesn't mean Lord and Miller aren't great directors. Lord and Miller are fantastic directors, and I was really keen to see their take on Han Solo. I'll be disappointed that I never got to see their Han Solo, in the same way as I think we would all love to see Gareth's earlier cut of Rogue One. And I guess if it didn't break canon, we might have had an opportunity, but here we are with that movie now, and here we are with a Rocky Han Solo film. Wow, it really is quite something to wake up to such bold news in the morning, such huge news as it's unfolding. And I'm sure Lucasfilm are waiting a respectful amount of time now before announcing the director. I definitely get the feeling the director's already locked, because Kathy said we will be announcing a new director soon. And time is money, and you got all this cast, this crew, these productions overseas with no one guiding it. I suspect Lawrence, who I get the impression was a fixture on set, will step behind the megaphone and we'll get that announcement before week's end, I would think. So watch this space. But have your say. Let's kick it around in the group. I've already put my post out today. I wrote a brief piece this morning about what's happened, laid down some of the details, and then gave you my opinion, which you've heard here today. I think there are concerns now about the direction Lucasfilm is going. I hope it doesn't rattle consumer confidence in Kathy. I really love Kathy Kennedy. She is a seasoned and proven producer. Some of the greatest films of our generation have Kathy Kennedy's fingerprints all over them, including these last two Star Wars films. So I trust her. I think that there is room to view the decision to fire Lord and Miller at this stage as being bold, and maybe at some point in the future we will view that as the right move for this film. But in the heat of the moment right now, it just seems to me as though Lucasfilm are making the wrong decisions on day one with these guys and how to manage their projects. it's worth noting as well, and I did write this in my piece on the site, that back in the day, these films would just be made and they would be released, and we would see them and fall in love with them, and only later would we learn about these sorts of dramas from behind the scenes, in documentaries and in industry publications. We would never have to deal with this stuff unfolding in real time. And think back to some of your favourite legendary productions. I'm looking at you, Jaws, and how troubled they were. And, you know, if we were there while it was happening, we wouldn't know about it. You'd have to be an industry insider to know about it. And right now, every man and his dog, including mine, who I'm walking right now, knows about these things as they unfold in real time. And that can be detrimental, because the echo chamber that surrounds these things now, us, we're all voices contributing to it, can end up doing more harm than good in the way people view these properties. It's whether or not they stay home on release day. And I just hope that in the next less than a year before Han Solo hits theatres, the majority of people are brought around by more positive news connected to the project. I think Lawrence would be the first piece of positive news about that. But let's see what happens there. Okay, what I'm going to do, when I wrap this up now, because this is going to go out on the main podcast feed, I'll publish it to the VIP feed as well. So if you're not already a TSW VIP, please consider joining us. You'll get this sort of rough and ready podcast every day of me doing something on the go, on the run, so to speak, on the Kessel run. I often podcast from the car. I'll podcast as I'm walking the dog, which I'm doing right now. But you'll also get priority release shows, a monthly draw. You can become a part of our wonderful VIP community on Facebook. And you'll get so much more. Okay, Veeps, I will speak to you guys tomorrow morning. And hopefully you can join me tomorrow evening for the Facebook Live. I'm not sure. I'll see if I can talk Rob into doing a post-show AMA. But I will be there as I am every week for the pre-show Facebook Live session. So I'm sure one thing will dominate the conversation on both the Facebook Live and the main show, and that will be Han Solo. So if you want to get something into us, a question or a comment, and get it on tomorrow's show, then please send that to me now. I will restructure the show notes for this week in light of this massive news. And other than that, all that remains to say for me to say is have a great day. It's going to be a hot one here, the hottest day in the UK since 1976. So since before Star Wars, this is going to be the hottest day. It's already a little bit balmy. So if you're out and about, take care. Don't leave your dog in a car and all that PSA stuff. And I'll speak to you guys tomorrow morning. Have a good one.
If you'd like to support what we do here at Talk Star Wars, you can do so by becoming a TSW sponsor. For as little as £1 per month, given securely via PayPal, you'll help us keep the lights on here at Talk Star Wars. When you become a TSW sponsor, we will automatically make you a TSW VIP. As a VIP, you'll get access to an exclusive stream of content that provides you with a daily podcast called the TSW Kessel Run, membership to the TSW VIP Facebook group, priority releases of shows such as the TSW Toy Box and TSW Comics. You'll also get priority access to the TSW Feature Com series and weekly Facebook Live and AMA sessions. There are also newsletters and a monthly prize draw. Head to talkstarwars.co.uk/support and become a TSW sponsor today, and the Force will be with you always.
It's a wrap.